call this meeting of July 21st to order and ask you to rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could we have a roll call of members, please?
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Mr. Randall has asked to be excused. Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Stevenson?
Present.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Cha?
Here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. Hattery has also asked to be excused. Ms. Herrera?
Here.
Ms. Keeper?
Present.
Ms. Mackesy?
Here.
Mr. Kablinkalaire?
Present.
13 members present.
Petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
We have no special orders of the day, so we will proceed to privilege of the floor for the public. We have a very busy agenda. I'll remind people they have 3 minutes to speak, and if they want to put in written comments, they can do so. I have three people signed up in advance, and those who haven't signed up in advance certainly can speak as well. Mike Lane, Village of Dryden.
Mike Lane, good evening, everyone. I've been reading the paper about the proposed hotel project in downtown Ithaca and the fact that it now appears that it wants to go to the IDA and ask for not only sales tax but also a real property tax abatement. I think it's showing what was wrong with the density policy that was originally promulgated for the city of Ithaca. We had so much trouble back in 2005 with the Cuba Green project. Issues of that have surfaced recently, including the rents that were being asked for in that building. The new hotel project on the east end of the Commons was to be built without tax abatements, so that was how it was rolled out. And now that's changed completely. And the question is, should all of the taxpayers in Tompkins County be subsidizing that commercial venture in downtown Ithaca? I don't think so. I think even with the review and changes to the density policy that tried to add some social incentives to it, I don't think that it is the right thing to do to the county to have those tax abatements. If the city of Ithaca chooses to give abatements to the project for a building to be built in the city, that's different. If the city school district chooses to give abatements for the building to be built in the Ithaca City School District, I think that's a different issue. But to expect the people in Ulysses or Groton or Enfield to help shoulder the cost of that in a commercial venture, I think is beyond what we should be doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Next, we have Eric Levine, Coddington Road.
Hi, I'm Eric Levine of the Town Board of Ithaca, and I'm pleased to appear before you also in my capacity as the Vice Chair of the Intermunicipal Recreation Partnership. And I've come to speak about just one line item on your the budget you're working on for 2010, the item for the Recreation Partnership. I understand the county has expressed an intent that budgets be cut by 6.25%, and we're hoping that the county does not expect this to be imposed upon the Recreation Partnership as well. And I'd just like to make a few points about that. First, the Recreation Partnership Agreement with 11 partners, by its own terms, states that it is not to be governed by any other municipality. It is its own entity, so it really shouldn't be governed by another budget of another entity. There are 11 partners in the Recreation Partnership, and it could not function if each partner thought that its own budget had to be imposed upon the Recreation Partnership. The Recreation Partnership did work very hard to cut costs cut programs, and even though there's increased participation in the recreation partnership. The recreation partnership agreement also states that each partner is urged to put the recreation partnership's budget initially in its working proposed budget and go on from there, and that's what we hope that the county is willing to do. We did come up with a 2.5% increase over last year, which resulted in about a $1,459 increase over the $57,786 put in by the county during 2009. This is a classic case of spending a little money to get a lot. The money is really highly leveraged through a lot of volunteerism with parents and guardians through the programs, and it's a great thing, and we hope that the county respects the intent of the Recreation Partnership Agreement and adopts the modest budget that it has put forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric. And next we have Faye Gugakis from East State Street.
Good afternoon. First, I want to make a statement that in today's Ithaca Journal, I agree with Mr. Lozano, who works at the water treatment plant, and I join with him and the other homeowners along the lake who are very concerned about lake source cooling, because I feel Cornell is responsible. Two reasons. They never wanted to put the outpipe further in, and some of you had requested that on the county board. And second, every meeting that I went to, every public hearing that I went to, they kept saying, you're not going to find us responsible because there's so many other problems that are contributing to the lake. Okay? It doesn't take a scientist to realize when you remove phosphorus from the bottom to a lower part of the lake, it's going to create a problem. Now, there are problems in the lake. That doesn't mean that even if one entity, like Lake Source Cooling, is creating some level of problem, that that's not to be considered a problem. Okay, so I want to join with those people, and I want to make that statement here. The second thing is, I've been waiting since July 9th, since the Ithaca Journal published about your meeting, to talk about this issue. I am so upset with the fact that the county did not want to pass a text ban law for driving. Okay, now I heard tonight from some of you that the state is getting very closer to passing a state law. I don't know if it's passed. I don't know if it's true, but no matter what you respond to me tonight, the point is your responsibility was let go. You turned down this community. You turned down those students that came, that you gave an award to when I was here. Okay? You turned them down because you should have passed the law, regardless of what the state has done, because other counties have done that. And I read to you what the Ithaca Journal editorial said a month ago or so. They had an editorial saying the cell phone ban was created because other counties already went ahead with it, and they wanted to unify the cell phone ban in the state. Okay? And we did not want to do that. So I do not like the fact that you stood there and you said that law enforcement said it would be hard to enforce or prosecute. That is the lamest excuse. Why have other countries passed this law? Why? Why have other states passed this law? Why is it so difficult? You think you're going to get everybody who's text messaging or everybody who's on a cell phone? You unfortunately cannot. But by setting that precedent and saying, you know what, we can't do it. You guys out there, you can do whatever you want. We don't want to criminalize you. That's what you said. Well, let me tell you something. The New York Times, anybody watching this tonight, please look at the New York Times on Sunday. One page, three pages worth of great material why there should be legislation. I am so disgusted with our community, not just with lawmakers, because the front page of the New York Times says neither drivers nor lawmakers want to stop cell phone use behind the wheel. I ride a bicycle, and I'm a pedestrian, and I take the bus. And let me tell you something. It is very scary out there. And for you to sit back, those of you that think you don't want to criminalize something, you're afraid to criminalize something, how about drunk driving? Well, Mike Lane just told me in the early years, like in the New York Times, where this guy killed a woman, and he was just given nothing for killing somebody. Well, now that's taken seriously. So we're in, unfortunately, the baby years of the cell phone and text messaging. God knows what else is going to be put into a car, into people's hands. But this is like, it's killing people.
It is
the worst thing. But let me just add, for you not to take a stand and to wait for the state to do it is a shot in the face to those kids that came who worked so hard. It's a shot in the face to sustainability in this community. And I take it so seriously. It's upset me so much. And I unfortunately have only 3 minutes to talk about it. I wish I had more time to talk about it because this is a disgrace to our community.
Thank you.
And I don't know how else to say it. I'm sorry that my voice went up, but I don't know how else to say it.
Thank you very much for your comments. Anyone else who wishes to speak on any matter? If I see no one else, we'll move on to privilege of the floor for legislators. We're going to begin with our Youth Award, Martha Robertson, Distinguished Youth Award.
Thank you, Mike. Can I ask Julie Newman and Brianna Friedline to come up, please? The award tonight is going to Brianna Friedline for the Distinguished Youth Award. And Brianna's 18 years old, has just completed her senior year at Dryden High School. She'll be attending TC3 this fall, majoring in criminal justice with a focus on crime prevention and victim support services. And I just want to give a little bit of an introduction, and then Julie is going to read the nomination that she wrote. So this is Julie Newman, who is the program manager for the Hours program with Cooperative Extension, and of course Brianna Friedline. Hours is a program that's called Opportunities, Understanding, Respect, and Success. And just a little bit first about the program. It was started in Congress Mobile Home Park in Freeville, in the town of Dryden, and was started by a young woman named Jessica Hull. She herself grew up in Congress Trailer Park and decided that kids in the park were at a serious disadvantage with no after-school activities, little help with schoolwork, and no transportation to get to any programs that might have been available. Jessica recruited her, she was a Cornell student at the time, and she recruited her fellow Cornell students to provide 3 days a week of programming year-round, including mentoring, games, crafts, outdoor activities, and field trips. And it was completely volunteer-run for a number of years. It was such a success that the Dryden Youth Commission and Cooperative Extension agreed to provide ongoing financial support. About 50 Cornell students still volunteered during the school year and some during the summer as well. And Julie has a number of hats, but one of them is to manage the program. And, I've just been very impressed by this program that really was as grassroots as it gets. And Jessica, Brianna was one of the first youth to join the program. So I'll let Julie take it from here.
So this is the nomination that I wrote for Brianna. I would like to nominate Brianna Friedline for the Distinguished Youth Award. Brianna is 18 years old and has just completed her senior year at Dryden High School. She will be attending TC3 this fall, majoring in criminal justice with a focus on crime prevention and victim support services. As Martha mentioned, Brianna was the first youth to join the Hours program in Congress Mobile Home Park, which was at that time completely volunteer run. She has been a youth participant for 4 years, but in this last year has taken a volunteer mentoring role. She recently exceeded the age limit, but still attends programs to support the other youth and to help transport them to and from activities. She has grown to serve as their mentor, and many of them call her mom. Brianna has been through some tough times in her life, but she never ceases to be kind to others and to help reach out to the other young people. Although Brianna has been attending school and working full-time to help pay the family's bills, she continues to attend Hours programs when she can to support the youth. Brianna leads by example and is extremely modest and humble, but a constant in these kids' lives. She is a true leader because she really listens to others' voices and needs. The girls especially really look up to her for support because they know that she has been through a lot of the same things they're going through and has, quote-unquote, come out on top. Brianna makes herself available to the girls, ages 7 to 17, and shows them she cares. Brianna was employed during high school at local hotels doing laundry and also at Burger King. Every time I talked with her, it seemed she was working. I know she often closed down the restaurant because she was there very late at night. Brianna's family had to move from Congress Mobile Home Park this spring due to a septic issue there that forced many families to move within 30 days. But they didn't move far. They found a trailer on Sheldon Road in Freeville. So Brianna has continued to transport her siblings and others and attend program when she's not at one of her other jobs. Brianna really is an amazing woman who has had to overcome so much personally in order to stay on a positive and productive life path. The fact that she has now gone beyond that to achieve the self-confidence and make the time in her schedule to serve as a volunteer mentor to the other youth is what is truly exemplary. Thank you for giving this worthy person the award.
Oh, there's more.
Come on up, Brianna. I asked you before if you wanted to say anything, and you said no, but if you have second thoughts, okay. Well, we'd like to give you this a plaque, and this award is sponsored by several people, several organizations, Bangs Ambulance Service, the Tompkins County Legislature, Cougar Radio Group, Purity Ice Cream, and A&B Awards and Engraving. And this says, Tompkins County Distinguished Youth Award presented to Brianna Friedline in recognition of your outstanding commitment to your community, July 2009. So, I just really am very impressed with everything that I've heard about you, and I know you've made an impact on the Dryden Youth Commission, and the supervisor gave me kudos about you also, so congratulations. And we have some other little things to take home. So, you might have perked up when, you know, I said Purity Ice Cream. There's a coupon here. First aid kit. A towel? Okay. Cougar Radio Group and a t-shirt. So just a few little mementos and a way of saying thanks for everything you do.
Thanks, Martha. Are there any other legislators who wish to speak on the privilege of the floor? Craig Stevenson.
As you all know, I had a fairly intense interest in the healthcare benefits consortium debate that we had a couple meetings ago. I've often heard in the presentation and the rollout of this whole program that you can check the website for information, and I just wanted to note that according to the website, there were scheduled meetings of the steering committee on June 10th, June 24th, and July 15th. I don't know if any of them happened, but there's no minutes on the website from any of those meetings, and there's still no information about who the benefits administrator will be. I'd like to see the steering committee a little more forthcoming with information.
Thank you. Jim Dennis.
Thank you, Michael. Kudos to the event in Trumansburg that was held recently, the Grassroots Festival. Many of you saw, I'm sure all of you saw in the paper, that it was predicted that it generated $4.8 million for the community over that 4 day. And a special props to the law enforcement people, the sheriff, the state police, and the local police, and the people inside working for Grassroots. There were few incidents. I believe there was one heart attack that maybe had something to do with Grassroots or not, but they were there and the event happened. So my sense was from talking to neighbors that and people in the village and in the area that everything went fairly well. People had a good time, and it really, there was no drenching rain that ruined everyone's life for one of the days. So I applaud the people who organized it, and certainly the people who were the guardians of it all.
Thank you, Jim. Carol, talk next.
Yeah, I'll add to that. it's really a wonderful event, and for those people who haven't given it a chance, I urge you to go even for just an hour next year and see what it's all about. And I did, I took the liberty of calling and talking to the people who put on Grassroots and also our sheriff, who corroborated that there really were no, there were very low incidents of any kinds of events. The gentleman who had a heart attack was described to me as an older gentleman of over 50, but who was somebody who was at high risk for right, an older who was at high risk for a heart attack, had risk factors. So it was not a kid, and it wasn't substance related, and that for the compared to these last several years, according to Pete Meskel, the law enforcement incidents have been way down and very well managed. And then the Grassroots people themselves mentioned that this year, using the FEMA emergency system, worked very well for them and for anybody who had emergencies, that in situations like this, they were literally, this gentleman, if he'd been in his own home, probably would have died. But using the FEMA system, they had paramedics there within a few minutes. So, and I had, it would be interesting to at some point hear a presentation on the economic development impact. I had some other things I was going to talk about, but I really, on the way down here, I heard more information, as I had heard this morning, about the arrest of Henry Louis Gates in Boston, in the Boston, Cambridge. This was a gentleman, he's one of the most distinguished scholars in the country, created the field of African American studies, was returning from a trip to China, and was arrested for breaking into his own home. He arrived home and his lock, the door had swollen with all this rain and he couldn't get in, and was observed breaking into his house, and the law enforcement, I guess he has been, the charges have been dropped now, but apparently on the scene nobody believed that this could possibly be his home in such a fine neighborhood. I will let not make further comments on that. It will speak for itself. I did also hear today that the New York State Senate has passed the texting while driving bill. And I believe that that now goes to the governor. I believe it's the same version in both the Senate and the Assembly, so they don't have to resolve the bills. The thing that I really wanted to talk about tonight is broadband access. I will be bringing a resolution to our next meeting, hopefully through the PDEC committee, to support, if it comes together in time, to support an application for broadband stimulus funds. You know, I've had that as a aim for a long time, since I got on the legislature. And I had hoped that we could provide broadband access to our residents on our own towers, or in maybe in connection with the surcharge we're talking about implementing on landline use. And I think I've now become convinced that that is not practical, both from a standpoint of competing with the emergency communications portion of our, what we do on our towers, or technically from the way that the technology works to reach a greater number of people. There apparently is stuff that we could have done 2 years ago in mapping where service is available that the county didn't decide to do at the time, that might have given us a stronger application now, but we didn't do it, and there is money available now. There's stimulus money to the tune of $7 billion that's been made available. It's been made available through all kinds of initials and acronyms. There are three main pots of money. There's money for remote, rural, and urbanized areas. There's money for unserved and underserved populations. There is money related to the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Health, I believe, and Commerce. And I believe that Tompkins County might still find a way later to apply. All of that will come out in different rounds of applications through each of these programs. And there may be a way that Tompkins County may be, may be able to apply later for something related to public safety we are thinking about. But there's an opportunity now for a different kind of pot of money with a very tight time frame. Guidelines came out 2.5 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and they are due August 15th, applications in this first round. And in the first round of this pot, the bulk of the money, over 50% of the money in that pot, will be made available. So I do have a draft resolution. I'm still working on it. I can hand it out tonight to those who are interested, but it really is just a draft that I'm still working on. And I'm hoping to get staff comment on before it's a serious draft. And I'm hoping that PDEC will, I believe that PDEC is the right place for it. For our own towers, we came through, was it public safety and F&I? But this is economic development money that would not be county-owned and built facility. This would be a private company applying for the money and using it in a public-private partnership. There's a particular entity that is putting together an application that will include Broome County, going through the areas of Broome County, Tompkins County, Cayuga County, with a backbone using some new technologies that will then allow other private operators to tie into that backbone. So I'd like PDEC to look at it more carefully. I hope that we can do so. I hope the fact that we didn't lay the groundwork 2 years ago is not a good enough reason to not consider going for money now, and you will hear more about that in the future. So thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Julie Kiefer.
Carol, is this the Clarity Connect with Dietrich group that you're talking about joining?
Yes.
Okay.
If there are others out there
have
serious applications who are ready to go, I'm happy to look at those as well.
I'm glad you're pursuing it. I wanted to say that I understand Faye's frustration, and I think she's justified in sharing it with us. I was very disappointed also that our collective wisdom came up with what I thought was the wrong answer. I saw nothing whatsoever wrong with passing a local don't text while driving bill the way other counties have done. The difference here really was that our sheriff and our DA did not support us doing it the way other counties' sheriffs supported their acting.
I have Will, then Frank, then Martha. Will Burbank.
Thank you, Mike. One of my hobbies is picking up litter in my neighborhood, and it allows me both to create a somewhat cleaner environment and reflect on some of the strange litter that flows through our system. Several months ago, I brought to this body's attention the phenomenon of multiple phone books or yellow books that were appearing and apparently not wanted and just were basically lying in gutters. I'd like to report there's a new phenomenon. Perhaps you've seen this in your neighborhood. And these rolled up newspaper tubes that are being flung on our driveways and our lawns. Turns out by our beloved Ithaca Journal, who used to send these through post but has adopted a more direct means of taking it out. I called to ask if they would do anything. I spoke to a very nice woman, but she said that if I didn't want it personally, they could take me off the list. But my concern is that it appears that most people don't really want these. It is literally commercial littering on a massive scale. And so I bring this to your attention to ask you to do a few things. First, if you don't want it, I encourage anybody listening to call the Ithaca Journal and ask them to stop doing it. Or at the very least, send somebody out after after it's been out there for a few days and pick up anything that's not been taken. I call upon representatives of the council government to see if there is some strengthening to our littering laws to address the issue of commercial littering, because I think this is a problem in our community. It's an aesthetic problem. It's a resource problem, but it really degrades our visual environment, and it's also a huge waste of paper. Anyway, I encourage us to do something, and if you don't like this, by all means, please speak out. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I have Frank Proto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to pick up on, while we need to talk about that resolution on broadband, Carol, because some of us would like to know, myself in particular, what the impacts, if any, on the county might be. And I think before we sponsor something, or at least pass a resolution, we ought to, I'm glad you're still working on it, but I certainly appreciate a copy of it. Just a couple of announcements. I'm sorry that I think Martha's Distinguished Youth Award was well placed. This week is the county's 4-H Youth Fair up at 4-H Acres. It starts tomorrow, and it goes through the 25th. And while some of us judged chili last year, my distinguished colleague Kathy Herrera and I had the privilege of judging chili at the fair. We'll be there again, but I think this year we're going to be judging something else, perhaps in the goat tent. So we'll have to see what happens there.
Have you milked?
We'll milk the goats. Just in case you have an opportunity, it's a great opportunity to see what the kids have done, and 4-H ought to be taking quite a bow for this. Tomorrow, I'm sure some of you will have received the same letter that I did. As vice chair of the TCAT board, I just want to bring to your attention that tomorrow at noon at TCAT is the budget presentation for the municipal officials. So I hope as many of you that can come, because the city reps and from Common Council, us, and I hope representatives from Cornell will be there. That's at 12 o'clock at TCAT, and there will be lunch because of the timing of it. Okay? One more reminder, and I'll keep bringing this up as we get closer to October. We're going to be rededicating the monuments in DeWitt Park in October. October 3rd is the date. Karen Fuller has been very instrumental in helping us keep that on track. There's a lot of local interest in that, including the Bricklayers Union has been phenomenally involved in helping us get the monuments and all the brickwork in the park up to speed. There have been a number of community volunteers associated with that. And I can't let the opportunity pass my NYSEG report. In case you missed this article in the journal, NYSEG has applied and perhaps will continue to apply to reduce the voice your choice option and the fixed rate option on your bills. They want to send people back into the morass of private suppliers and have to go through that myriad of 10 or 12 to see if they can get a better deal. Not a bad idea. It's a good idea to weigh the competition. But the one that bothers me personally a little bit is the fixed rate option. They want to drop that, and they will be applying to the PSC to do that. That really, while they may charge a little more because they estimate high, the concern is that there are a lot of people who like to budget their payments. And you know as well as I do that utilities have gone out of sight, particularly electric bills. And natural gas is close behind, even though the ones that are traded at a million BTUs right now are $3. The price of natural gas has plummeted severely. The just stay abreast of this, because you may have constituents asking you what should they do. And if they do get approval from the PSC, they probably will drop these two programs. And that's going to, in my opinion, without proper education of the community, it's going to create a real zoo for people scrambling for next year. Remember, these things all come out in the fall, and you get the same brochure that I do. So just be alert to that one. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Martha Robertson.
Thank you. I omitted a mention of the Youth Services Department as supportive of the Hours program in Dryden. In its infancy, Youth Services was very important in helping to support Jessica and the other volunteers. On the way down here, the story I heard, Carol, was on the radio, was about California passing its budget, including a provision by which the state is actually taking money from counties so that, and Los Angeles County has already filed a suit, you know, challenging the constitutionality of it, literally taking, so we're not talking about mandates, that's kind of the soft way, we're talking they're actually going to take county money. So maybe we have now passed the torch of dysfunctional government back to the state of California. So, on a brighter note, Dryden Old Home Days is coming back. This is an event that was started in the late 1800s, and it's going to be held July 31st and August 1st. July 31st, Friday, in Montgomery Park in the village of Dryden, small admission charge. The second day at Dryden Lake Park, just south of the village, everything from pet rock identification by the Museum of the Earth, Amy Dickinson talking about her bestseller, Mighty Queens of Freeville, Kazoo Kids Challenge, Jazzercise on the dock at Dryden Lake, fishing contest, bands at night after dark, and fireworks on Saturday evening. So it sounds like a lot of community organizations as well as the town are collaborating on this, and should be a lot of fun Friday and Saturday, the end of the month.
Thanks, Martha. Pam Mack, see you next.
Yes, I'd like to report that last week the Upstate Coalition met. It's a group of people in the Finger Lakes that have been working on the garbage transport truck issue. We have been expecting the regulations that the governor's office, actually DOT, put forward. It's been over a year now that they would finally be issued. But that has not happened yet. Evidently, there was a new person hired in the governor's office, and he needed to spend some months looking at it. So we're still sitting on it. But that doesn't mean that people are still suffering. I've got a phone call from somebody in Dryden this week. I talked to a woman who lives out on Route 38. They've been trying to... They can't even sit out on their back porch because of the noise and the smell. They've been trying to sell their house for 3 years. They have dropped the price by 40%, and they still haven't been able to sell it. I talked to another woman who lives on Route 79, and it is just destroying the lives of the people living in these homes on these roads. And if you're not affected by it, it doesn't seem as it seems like an unreal problem, but those people out there who are being affected by this are being affected in a very serious way. And I'm hoping that we put at our meeting, we talked about the strategies of putting pressure on the governor's office to try and get this thing to move forward, and we're hoping that will finally make it happen. And when it happens, then there will be a 45-day comment period before the regs are finally implemented.
Thanks for the update, Pam. Quickly, Frank?
Yeah, just a follow-up on Martha's comment about California. It goes beyond counties. They have state legislation that permits them to charge municipalities, and it drifts all the way down to cities and, in some cases, villages. My understanding is they can borrow they have to repay it within 3 years with interest. And it's also my understanding that they will take Ithaca bucks. So the other item, and I'm sorry I neglected to mention this because it may not come up later in the meeting. At the Water Resources Council yesterday, there were representatives from the Great Lakes Basin as well as Susquehanna, and they spoke about the transportability of the water. Remember that issue about moving fracked water and whatever is being drawn out or put in from one basin to another? There'll be Kathy Wilsey will have a copy of that presentation, of both presentations, in the planning department in the event that any of you would like to review it. It's very interesting. But we, Pam, thank you for coming yesterday because we reminded them again that our plea is to increase the comment period to 90 days once that draft environmental impact statement is released for public comment. The gentleman from the Region 7 DEC indicated, we've heard all kinds of estimates on when that's going to be released. He said yesterday it would be in September. Some of us have heard that it'll be later in the year. It could be as late as December. But he was pretty clear about it being. Dooley, did you hear anything differently than that yesterday about that? But my recollection is that, Pam did direct him to make sure that he supports a 90-day comment period. So I appreciated that. Thanks. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Frank. And Kathy Lou Cervera.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have two things tonight. One of them is it's a little quiz. We had a lot of current events tonight. How many of y'all have heard about Dwight DeLee? Syracuse murder trial, transgendered person was murdered. Why haven't you heard about it? Well, because it wasn't in the paper. I want people to be paying attention to this, though, because it's a very interesting case, not just because it involves perceived sexual orientation and someone who was murdered for that. And Dwight DeLee murdered Letitia Green because he thought that Letitia was gay. He called him a faggot, and he murdered him. He was put on trial for this, and it's my understanding that he was convicted of first-degree manslaughter as a hate crime for shooting Letitia Green. Well, there's a lot of reasons that this is significant. One is the New York state law doesn't cover gender identity and expression. Federal law doesn't cover sexual orientation or gender identity and expression as being protected from hate crimes. And in the ensuing days, it's become even more interesting because there's a Matthew Shepard law that's before the Congress, and there's two versions, one's in the House and one's in the Senate. And the short version is it's been put in the Defense Appropriations Bill with four amendments to it that are kind of poison pills, meaning that they make it to where some people might not vote for it, like if you're against if you're against murdering people by the state, or as some people would say, a death penalty, depending on how you look at it, that could be a poison pill. Another reason is some people, the ACLU, for example, is saying that both versions of the law, in their opinion, have free speech problems. The Human Rights Commission is weighing in on this. It's controversial. But what's interesting about it to me is that here in our own backyard, we have this living, or not living, the guy was murdered for, someone thought he was gay, hate crime, and there's no coverage of it locally. And it's not just an indictment of our local news system. I think that there's a blackout about this. I think people don't want to think and talk about it. It's more than just an emerging issue. According to the National Coalition of Anti-Violence Programs, murders of LGBT people in 2008 increased 28% from the previous year. More than 2,400 people reported being victims of hate violence involving incidents motivated by anti-LGBT bias. This isn't even people that don't identify as being LGBT, and a lot of people don't report. 12% of these reports on hate violence involved incidents motivated by anti-transgender bias. On average, a transgender person is murdered once a month in the United States. based on information collected by Remembering Our Dead and Transgender Day of Remembrance. It'll be very interesting to see how this plays out. For those who have knowledge of transgender or LGBT people in our lives, or who, like me, are openly gay, this takes on particular significance. I think it should take on a significance for everyone, and I would like to see members of the public and my colleagues contact their congressmen and senators and voice your opinion about passing the Matthew Shepard law free of poison pills and encumbrances so that it makes our country a more just place for everyone. And on a lighter and happier note, after just maligning our local press, I'm going to use our national local press. Sotomayor makes her case. How many people got a chance to see some of that? Was she good or what? A wise Latina, I'm telling you. She was cool. She was smart. She had such good humor. What got me about it was the questions. Y'all know that I tend to be kind of bristly in the face of condescension and patronizing activities. She was great. And I think she's going to make a great Supreme Court justice. And I know that there's going to be a week delay, or at least that's what I heard. Doesn't matter. She's a lock. I'm so proud of her. And I really look forward to seeing how she moves forward the law. And I don't mean by being a judicial activist. I mean by being fair and clear about the laws of this country. Yay!
Thank you.
I don't like it.
Anyone else wish to speak? Does anyone speak a second time? Dooley?
Kathy, there was local TV coverage, which we get here. I didn't read it in the newspapers, but I did see the case covered more than one day on television.
What did they say?
They pointed out the difficulties of proving the additional hate crime element.
He's a faggot wasn't good enough?
I'm not going to try to explain. That was the difficulty with the prosecution's.
I'll just say I appreciate you bringing that up, because in listening to the discussion that happened before about texting, for example, talking about how in the old days DWI was considered, you know, people were saying, why should we arrest people for that? That's a personal thing. It's really important that we understand that a crime like that is a crime against an entire community like Tompkins County. So thanks. I'm glad it was covered. I'm sorry I didn't get to see it. Maybe I'll look for it on the internet and see if I can find it.
Thanks, Kathy. Anyone else wish to speak under privileges of the floor for legislators? I don't think we have we don't have a special topic or presentation. I don't think we have a municipal official to report. Peter, are you here as a municipal official to report? No? Okay. Under Chair's report, I'll simply remind people that we've gotten our New York State Association of Counties, our NYSAC brochure for the fall seminar. We have limited funds, so if you are interested in going, please let me know. We may have to share that across more than, I think we have funds for fully paid for three people, or if more people want to go than three, partially paid for that. So please let myself or Karen Fuller know. The deadline for the application for the hotel space is August 16th. About a month in advance of that NYSAC conference, so please let us know. And also, national recognition has been given to our Youth Services Department. Nancy Zaylor is here, but I think the entire Youth Services Department and others in the community deserve recognition. They presented at a National Social Norms Institute conference in Minneapolis regarding our own middle school social norms campaign that's been going on for 5 years. And I think that's a real kudos to this, among many other departments that have been recognized for our leadership efforts and really, really frontier efforts. So thank you, Nancy, and thank the department for all the good work you're doing. And I think we were remiss in our last meeting to mention the Dragon Boat competition. It's now come and gone, but I think there's a lot of value to our community to have that celebration.
Where's the dragon?
I don't know where our dragon is. Maybe someone came in the night and stole it, but we don't seem to know where our honors from past Dragon Boats are.
It disappeared just about a week before the Dragon Boat.
Yeah, the week before.
A little mystery.
I got a text message that they want $150 to get it back.
Hey, it's $2 a person.
While I was walking.
Mine was Karen.
I have no chair's appointment, so we'll move on to a report from County Administrator Joe Mariano.
You think of bucks, Jim?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a very brief report tonight. First, I think everyone knows that last week the governor did sign the landline surcharge bill that you met in special session to get to the legislature. So both sides of the legislature approved it, as did the governor last week. I do want to kind of draw attention to something positive. I've spoken so much recently about all the negative things happening in our economy and difficulties with the budget. I do want to hand out a brochure, and I'm afraid I don't have copies for everyone. Maybe you can share. But we have been cited by the New York State Department of State and the Division of Local Government Service in a brochure that promotes local government efficiency and shared services, and they have singled out the Health Benefits Coalition and the effort underway here as an example of how governments can come together and improve, maintain service, and reduce costs. So I think that is a bit of good news, and we are being recognized for that. And that project, by the way, is moving forward. Greg, I will find out about the posting of those minutes. I know that one of those three meetings you referred to was canceled. I'll try to find out the status of the minutes of that meeting. But the process is going forward. We've reached our 2,000-person threshold that is needed to allow us to move forward with this. So there is progress continuing on that front. My last item, I would request that we meet in executive session after this meeting to discuss labor negotiations. I think there will be a brief executive session afterwards. That's my report.
Thank you, Joe. And I'll add a second item for executive session, a personnel matter. If there's no questions for Joe, we'll move on to our county attorney, Jonathan Wood.
I have no report.
Thank you, Jonathan. We do have an update of cases that we get once a month in our red folders, status of cases. And our finance director, David Squires.
I wanted to say hats off to the New York State Legislature for elevating the status of the Louisiana Legislature. I mean, they did pass our sales tax. It was tough for them, but they did. And speaking of sales tax, unfortunately, I laid on your desk the six-month activity, which relates to the headline articles about we're expecting sales tax to be about $2 million below budget. I wish I could sugarcoat that, but it looks real. It looks like the economy has dropped back about 2 years to about the 2007 level, and so it presents substantial challenges to the county this year and for next. Also, I'm not sure whether Kathy has distributed to you about the recently enacted retirement reporting for elected officials. I know that at least 10 of you, I believe, will be standing for re-election, and the new regulations that went into effect July 1st of 2009 will require you within 150 days of taking office to file a documentation of a time, 90 days time spent on documenting full-time service. So if you're going to run, you must consider that as soon as you take office, you'll have to start working on that. And finally, there was some news about Build America Bonds. NYSAC is putting together a pool which they're asking counties to consider to join in to aggregate their basically financing power to participate in this new federal program. It's a little different. It's an interesting concept, and there's a lot of suspicion nationally about it, whether the real objective is to basically drive out the municipal tax-exempt bond market and create a taxable bond market. But nevertheless, NYSAC is going to be asking us to maybe consider joining the pool. I don't know whether we have any projects other than highway right now that might qualify, but we're looking into it. And that's my report.
Thank you, David. Martha, question?
On the documentation of time, is it starting in January?
Yes. The requirement, yeah.
We'll get more information in terms of the process. We'll have to determine that.
Okay, I mean, you know, we've often felt that that was like the slowest period of the year for us, and it's a little unfortunate. So, but that's how it's going to be?
Mm-hmm. No, because it's tied to the beginning of the term, within the beginning, you know, and the trade-off is, though, once you do it, it's good for the whole term and could be good for 8 years, actually.
David, my understanding, when we had that webinar here, a couple of us were able to attend it, my understanding is we have those that are in the retirement system that have to log the hours. It will be effective January 1st, but you pick the 150-day period. It doesn't have to be starting January 1st. You could pick a different period of time, but it has to be a consistent. You can't skip periods.
We'll have plenty of time to review these regulations and implement a policy that makes sense.
No, but the point is, if you know,
we haven't been distributed the information yet, so we have.
But it starts within 150 days. The legislature has to adopt a work week within 150 days, and of that process, the reporting period has to be established.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, the reason I was asking was in case it means, like, if I wanted to keep track of my hours in September and October, that would, you know, I would do that before this September. Okay.
You can do that, and you can ask if that can be used instead. I don't think you're agreeing.
Okay, thank you, David. If there's no further questions, Mike Sigler.
I know it's kind of early for this, but don't we have one of the highest bond ratings in the state?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really see a big benefit for us joining anything like that.
That's a point, also, yes, because the pool is supposed to be guaranteed a rate of A, and we're AA2.
Okay.
I wonder if they want us in the pool.
I see no other staff here to be recognized, so we'll move on to resolutions to be added or withdrawn to or from the agenda. Leslie McKean Claiborne.
Council Chair, I do need to add resolution R, authorizing acceptance of a FA grant to remove obstructions for a consultant agreement with CNS Engineers, Inc. for construction observation services for obstruction removal for a that's it.
Is there a second? Captain Rivera, seconds. All in favor of adding that to the agenda? Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. Any further additions or resolutions to be withdrawn? If not, we'll move on to the consent agenda. These are items not expected to be controversial that can pass in a single vote. I'll read the appointments and then the resolutions. Many of them are revised. I'll note when they're revised. Please let me know if you want to take them off for consideration on the regular committee reports. For the appointment list, we have Ethics Advisory Board, Brian Eaton, and Planning Advisory Board, Meenakshi Amundsen.
I would like to discuss the Mina Amundsen.
We'd like to take that off, so we'll put that under the Planning Committee. And for the resolutions, Resolution A, which comes from Government Performance Workforce Relations Committee, this is making a negative declaration of environmental significance in relation to Resolution B of 2009, authorizing the county administrator to execute a deed with the Nature Conservancy for the sale of tax parcel 24117.32, located in the town of Dryden, and Resolution B, authorizing the county administrator to execute that same deed. The Health and Human Services Committee, we have Resolution C, authorization to execute a 3-year contract, administration and provision of transportation for early intervention and preschool special education children residing in Tompkins County from the Health Department. Also from HHS, we have Resolution D, authorization, this is revised, to execute a supplemental agreement with Nutrition for the Elderly in Tompkins County, doing business as FoodNet Meals on Wheels. Moving on to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, the balance are from that committee. Resolution E, award a bid, disabled passenger ramp, Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport. Resolution F, which is revised, award a bid, runway de-icing equipment and purchase of dump truck, Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport. Resolution G, authorizing a consultant agreement with CNS Engineers Incorporated for design and bidding services for a sand storage building Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport. Resolution H, authorizing a consultant agreement with CNS Engineers for construction, observation, and administrative services of Runway 32 Localizer Array Relocation Project, Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport. Resolution I, which is revised, authorizing acceptance of a Federal Aviation Administration grant to complete a master plan, Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport. Resolution J, authorization to execute funding agreement with New York State Department of Transportation, Pine Tree Road, bike and pedestrian paths. Resolution K, which is revised, authorization to issue design approval and acquire right-of-way, West Seneca Road Bridge over Boardman Creek. And Resolution L, which is also revised, authorization to issue design approval, CR 130, this is the Newfield Depot Road Bridge over Cuga Inlet. Who would like to move the consent agenda? Frank Proto, seconded by Elizabeth Bean Claiborne. We're ready to vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. That's the bulk of our work for the evening. We have about five or six resolutions to go, so we'll keep on that same pace. I think we're going to move up. I don't see Eric here. We're going to move up our resolution regarding the Youth Bureau, which is Resolution P from Health and Human Services Committee. But now I see Frank is out of the room. Frank, can you join us?
Okay.
Are you vice chair?
I'm sorry, I'm vice chair, and I apologize. This is the
resolution.
Thank you. Okay, so this is the exempting intermunicipal recreation partnership from target cuts and
resolution B.
You want me to move it, Will?
And I will move that. Yes.
And is there a second, Frank Proto? It's resolution P in our packets. Is there discussion? Ann McAsey.
I do not think that we, the title of that resolution, I think, is not an appropriate title, and I cannot support it with that title. I think that, I mean, people have been comparing it to TCAS and to TC3, and when we vote on those budgets, we vote on them based on the budget, what they present to us and what we think. It doesn't mean that we might not reduce what we are going to appropriate by the amount that we are asking our departments, but it is a negotiable thing, and it has an impact on what the other partners give in. For example, TC3, whether Cortland County puts in the same amount we do, and if we don't put in as much, then they don't put in as much. The same thing goes with TCAT, the three partners, Cornell, the city, and the county, is that they present us with a budget, and with the partners look at it, and decide whether we can afford what is being offered. And it is at that point that the decision is made what whether we will make a small or substantial cut or no cut at all in terms of their budget. So I think that that is not useful language to have in there, and certainly just confuses and complicates what I think is trying to be done.
Further discussion? Jim Dennis?
Thank you, Michael. Everything Eric Levine said today, while I understand clearly that he is supporting this, can be said about every agency that we fund. And my sense of all this is that what I would like to see happen is, one, either it go back to the committee for further discussion, and what they would look to do is literally talk to towns, and I think Frank had told me the money was like $1,400 we're talking about, literally ask towns for a one-time increase above what the contract states so that they can assist the county in getting through this particular year. My sense is if we exempt this group, that there's going to be a long line of groups asking to be exempted. And I think for this budget process to work, everyone has to basically deal with what the county is trying to deal with. Not to say that everyone has to sacrifice, but everyone has to look at ways to trim their budgets. So in that realm, I'm not going to support this resolution as it is. If it goes back to committee or does some other things that ask people, other groups for a slightly bigger amount of money, that might help solve the problem.
I have Martha, then Dooley, then Frank, then Carol.
Well, to respect Jim, this is really not at all like the other agencies. I mean, and it's different from TCAT. No, it's probably similar to TCAT in that we're directly represented on the TCAT board. We have direct representation on the Rec Partnership Board also. TC3, we don't have, unless we do have direct representation, but we're very small. The point is, our representatives are part of the very long and complicated negotiations about what the budget should be what the partnership budget should be, what the municipal contributions should be. And I think it's up to our representatives, and this year that's Frank and Tyke, right?
Mm-hmm.
To make the case that the county can't support an increase and whatever it is. So the point is it's not the same as a department. And this is maybe the word exempting is a not a great word, but the point is it's a different animal than, say, the rest of the youth services department. I think that is all that is being requested here. I feel like this is one of I was on the Rec Partnership Board a couple of years, and it's a very important intermunicipal group that where everybody gets more than they pay for. And the value is not just in the programs that are supported and offered to families around the county, but the value is in people from different municipalities really, working out agreements, working out compromises. And it really matters that the county is part of this. The dollars here are so trivial as to be, $1,400. I appreciate what you're saying, Jim, about the county going back and asking for one-time help to pay $1,400 from the municipalities. I would support that about law enforcement, which was your comment in public safety yesterday, but that doesn't even, rise to the level of the bookkeeper required. I feel like if we were, that we need to stay in this partnership, we need to be full partners, and it isn't fair to just treat the partnership as the same as another county department and just say you have to deal with the same budget target as straight county departments, because it doesn't operate that way. Everybody told me that TC3 was different from the county department. When we had all these negotiations about their budget, they weren't subject to our target in the same exact way. I really don't think the Rec Partnership should be subject to the target constrictions. It doesn't mean that we automatically vote what they're asking for. It still will come to us for a vote during our budget process. It just means that it's not automatic, that they have to deal with the target cut.
I have Dooley, then Frank, then I'll speak, then I have three others after that. Dooley?
Well, I can understand Jim as chair of the budget committee standing strong for the budget committee guidelines. And I don't have any objection if our representatives on the Rec Partnership want to plead with their fellow reps to cover our $1,400. But I absolutely would not subject the Recreation Partnership to our guideline of cutting at least 6 and 6+%. The Rec Partnership has had a difficult and interesting and long history. I, too, served on the board for a while. And it is such a valuable entity that I have no trouble at all distinguishing it from everything else that we try to do with our departments and with TCAT and TC3. I think Eric said very clearly that the intent of the group is not to have any one municipality's budget guidelines impact the deliberations of the partnership as a whole. And for us to try to tell them they've got to come in with a budget lower than it was, when they've already apparently looked at things and said 2.5% increase will let us continue to do a reasonable job, that just seems irresponsible to me. We are signatory to this agreement, and we should leave it alone.
Thank you. Frank Proto?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think just to pick up on what's already been said, and perhaps the title of the resolution is a little doesn't state the case as clearly as it should be. This is really a planning document during their budget deliberations. They need to go back to the municipalities and work out what the formula is for each municipality. And just to remind you that the town of Ithaca, the city of Ithaca, and the county each contribute a quarter of what the dollar amount is, so that increase of $1,469, it's $1,469 to be precise. That is carried through to each of them, and then the remaining $1,469 is spread out over the remaining towns. That's just the increase. I mean, the total budget, if we go with the formula that's been proposed, is about $237,000. Remembering that there are roughly 4,000 kids that get services here, and it's every single town has somebody participating in these programs, whether you have an on-site program or not. And even Lansing has some kids that come down to the program, even though they have a stellar program of their own. The concern that some of us expressed, not only at the Rec Partnership over the last year or the last 6.5 months, but certainly at the Health Committee meeting the other day, where it hasn't gone unnoticed that these are stressful times, not only financially, but or perhaps because they are stressful times financially, the families that are taking advantage of these programs are probably stressed out at least as much as anyone else is. And some of these kids, particularly, not to pick on the city or the rural residents or whatever, getting to where they can participate at all is very important. And I think trying to give these folks an out and have their kids given an opportunity to participate in Kiwanis in baseball, and there's a whole list of different activities. And this does include some cuts, by the way. There are some programs that were eliminated because of this, because they simply can't afford to carry them all on. So I would ask that perhaps we can, and I always turn to Dooley, I don't mean to embarrass her, perhaps we can rename this resolution, but I think that in this...
I have a suggestion.
We'll get to you.
I think in this instance, if we can recognize that this is simply the beginning of their budget process, and Martha's right, during the budget deliberations of our budget committee, the expanded budget committee, we can tweak the budget at that point, but it will give us an opportunity, and it will give the Rec Partnership group an opportunity to at least lay the groundwork with the other municipalities. And I would certainly urge that we support this during the early phases, such as it is. By the way, this is a long, the arrangement, the partnership arrangement that we have, Nancy, correct me if I'm wrong, 5-year contract?
We're in the second year of 5 years.
This is the second year of a 5-year contract.
I'll speak, and then there's five other speakers after. Yes, I agree with Frank that this is a planning tool, and I in general agree that we have to honor our agreements, but my question is, when do we telegraph a change in the contribution level? Do we telegraph it early enough so they have time to plan, even though that's not exactly how the agreement is written, or do we telegraph it on the third Tuesday in November when there's a scramble to possibly have to adjust lots of programs if indeed we are not able to meet our contribution level and then everyone else has to adapt? So I will not be supporting this as written. I also will not be supporting it on the grounds that I don't believe recreation is actually part of the county mission, although we've been doing it for a number of years to kind of shore up this this consortium. I think that it's really a purview of localities. So, but I'll move on that point. We're not going to be debating the actual budget tonight. We're just debating on how we will send the signal to the rec partnership to plan. I have Carol, Will, Jim, and Pam after that.
Yeah, I do believe that youth are an important part of our county mission. And I agree with this in concept, but there are a few things in here that I would have trouble supporting as it's written. And I'll start with one. I'd like to take them separately, because I think this may be a friendly amendment. In the last whereas, the 1, 2, 3, the fifth whereas, I'm willing to support this, but not because this is the way we've done it with other intermunicipal agreements. I think that each one is its own and should be considered as such. And I don't think that's a good argument to do this, because then we're going to hear from each agency in turn that we have to do it.
So you're proposing to take a phrase out?
So I am proposing to take out those words like it has done with other intermunicipal agreements.
Is that friendly to Will and Frank, mover and seconder?
Yeah.
I have a substitute.
Okay. Oops. Is that okay with you?
Yeah. Yes, that's friendly. Okay, thank
you. If you'd like, we could substitute the words instead for the purposes of intermunicipal cooperation.
I love it.
Those substitutions are both friendly. The phrase is out, and so, the purposes of is in.
Then I have a possible title change. Instead of what it is, it would read, recognizing commitment to the Intermunicipal Recreation Partnership Agreement.
Is that friendly to the mover and seconder? Recognizing commitment to.
That would be okay with me. I would like to, Will, what do you think?
Okay.
and then I think I want to hear from Dooley.
Yeah, I like the what you added, but we are eliminating the key part with the reference to the target cuts, which I think is...
Well, in the title.
Well, certainly in the title. People seem to be particularly...
Recognizing commitment
to. ...title. I have a possible change to the resolved as well, but...
Wording you're asking for, recognizing commitment to, are you taking out the phrase from target cuts in the title?
Yes, it would just read recognizing commitment to the Intermunicipal Recreation Partnership Agreement.
Yes, the mover and seconder again.
Agreement.
Is that acceptable?
I will accept.
Friendly and Frank?
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Friendly. Those are now friendly. Any further wording changes?
And then the fourth thing, which may need more discussion. In the resolved, on recommendation of the Health and Human Services Committee, that Tompkins County will consider the intermunicipal agreement in its budget considerations.
That is not
rather than be exempt from across the board.
That is not friendly. Do you want to move it as amendment?
I'm not sure.
Okay, why don't you wait then?
I will just put it out there.
I have Will Burbank next as speaker.
Will. Thank you, Michael. I agree with much of what's already been said. I would only add, I too served had the pleasure of serving on the Recreation Partnership when I was a member of the town of Ithaca Town Board. And it was during that period that there was the first attempt or talk, serious talk during a difficult budget year of the county's withdrawal. And I just wanted to share with you what a profoundly negative and scary impact that had on the other municipalities. This is a four-legged stool, folks. And if we take out one of those legs, that whole thing, which is, I think, a shining example, a wonderful example of intermunicipal cooperation, we take out our leg or even just peel away at it and get started to wobble, that whole stool is in danger. And so I really encourage us to hang in there and support this.
I have Jim Dennis next.
Thank you, Michael. Someone once said it's never about what it's about. And what it is for me is not particularly this resolution, but it's all the others that I know are going to follow. And you know, it's really easy to support this resolution for many people. I don't want to be painted as being against youth because I don't support this. Clearly, I'm not. But I think for the process to work with the county budget, with what we're trying to accomplish, I don't think we can exempt anyone at this point.
Thank you. Pam, next.
Yeah, I echo that. And I think that bringing in the merits of this program is not, you know, of course this is an important program. We don't have programs that aren't meritorious. I mean, we have good programs, and it is not, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about this year being a very difficult year. We talk about that, but then when something comes in front of us, we back away from that. It's as if, you know, there's a disconnect here, and I don't want to cut this program, and we're not even suggesting that we cut this program. All we're suggesting by not supporting this, by the way this is written, is saying, listen, we cannot guarantee at this point what our support will be. And that will be all a part of negotiations. We certainly want to support them, and I think that Jim has reflected that he too supports this. But it is, I think this is going at it piecemeal. It is not looking at the whole piece. And it sets aside this program in a way that I think is not healthy for what we are faced with this year with our budget cuts. We are in a very serious situation, and the fact that we would even consider allowing the Rec Partnership to think about having an increase in their budget without making a comment on the fact that they are not only will probably not be any increase, but perhaps a decrease along with every other program that we have in the county, I think we are fooling ourselves, and I think we are fooling them. And I think we need to be looking at this with a realistic look and trying to come out with the best we can. But I do not support this kind of setting things aside because I think that it is just going to get us into a pickle.
I've got six speakers, Mike Sigler, Martha, Dooley, Greg, Nathan, myself. So I'll go back to Mike Sigler.
Not back to me. First time. Got to tell off the kid haters. My main question is, and this is for Frank or for Martha, I think, primarily. When we first voted to renew this, I kept wondering why we're voting on it then, because it came to us about 2 months before we actually went into budget, if you guys remember that. And that was my main question then, is why are we voting on this now? Because wouldn't it be better to vote on this when we're actually in budget discussions with everybody else? And I guess that's my main question now, is why are we doing this now? Why are we not talking about this when we actually are going to have budget meetings? Because it does kind of set, I agree with Pam in that regard. I mean, yeah, I know it's only $1,400. I know it's an important program. I know all that. But I'm really not sure why we are setting it aside as something separate from, I mean, all of our programs, I think, have some advocates. I would imagine they'd all say the same thing.
We'll answer it in turn. Martha Robertson is next.
Okay. Well, we got an email today from, was it today or yesterday? Yesterday from Nancy Zaylor
answering some of the questions that came up in the Health and Human Services Committee, and one of them was, and I think the reason it's coming up now is basically she's actually simply not sure whether she should be asking for an OT, or she should be thinking of an OTR of just the 2.5% increase, the $1,400, or does the OTR include the minus 6.25 plus the $1,400? So there's a serious, you know, an issue of not being clear how this should be treated. I you know, and actually, Pam, I'm really trying to wrap my head around what you're saying. When I replay the TC3 vote, I mean, they came in with a 5% increase request. And, you know, we knew at that time that we were facing a target cut of 6.25 in that neighborhood to our departments. But everybody said, oh, no, TC3 is different. So, and that was $138,000, which we voted as an increase.
They produce revenue.
We're not going to debate another program.
All right, my point is, structurally, you know, I'm just really confused about why that was okay for TC3, then it doesn't fit here. When do we integrate that we need to cut? I tell you, I don't think anybody missed the headline of the Ithaca Journal that said we are now $2 million down in sales tax. I don't think any of the municipalities needs a memo from us to say that we're financially in trouble. But I think that just like the town, the municipal budgets are going to happen in the September and October, and then that's when they will be dealing with their contributions. I think that's the moment when we should as well. I just want to say one other thing about intermunicipal agreements. There's inherently a risk to it that some years it'll be a terrific thing to do to join with other municipalities, and we'll get financial benefits, or our citizens will see some, you know, terrific advantage. Some years it's not so good. Some years it's hard. There have been years when the city, for example, on TCAT said, you know, we really can't support what that budget request is. There have been years when the town of Dryden wanted to pull out of the rec partnership, for example. It's sort of by definition, it involves a leap of faith and a statement that we're doing something together that is better for our citizens than we could do if we were acting separately. And I think this is simply trying to be the same kind of partner within the partnership as other municipalities.
Thank you. On to Dooley.
Thanks, Mike. Mike, I was surprised to hear you say that you don't believe the county's in the youth recreation business. And I can understand that. That's a clear thing that one can believe, because each municipality within the county has that as a possible area of work. But it's such a big part of the quality of life in the county, and you've always been a champion of quality of life, so I'm surprised that you don't find this fitting in that rubric. Jim, you're worried about that this would just open the door to lots of other groups coming in, and there is no other group that I know of like this that will come to us and make that argument. This is unique. So that's just my opinion. And finally, I did come up with a possible alternative title and a change to the same first resolve, but it's not as gracious as what Carol did. The title I came up with was Exempting Intermunicipal Recreation Partnership from Having to Prepare a Budget to Meet Tompkins County's Budget-Cutting Guidelines. That just gives them the freedom, then, to prepare a budget knowing full well that we are in difficulty. And the similar language would be in the resolve that the Intermunicipal Recreation Partnership be exempt from having to prepare a budget each year to meet any across-the-board county target setting for the life of the agreement. It means that they would still be as aware when we are having difficult times, and our representatives on the board would make sure that they know that, but it doesn't make them have to follow one municipality, namely ours, cost-cutting guidelines. Initially, they can prepare a budget as they see fit. So I'd like to move those changes if anybody wants to.
Are you moving both the title change and the resolution wording change?
I will move the title change first, and if it changes, then it makes sense to have the resolution, the resolve match.
Could you read it again, please?
Yes, and I said it's not elegant. Exempting intermunicipal recreation partnership from having to prepare a budget to meet Tompkins County's budget-cutting guidelines.
Could Kathy read Carol's?
Recognizing commitment to the Intermunicipal Recreation Partnership.
Agreement.
That's the present one. It's been,
I don't care.
It's friendly.
You know, Will, I actually like Dooley's.
Has Dooley's been seconded?
Oh,
as an amendment?
She's asking if it's friendly.
It's friendly.
No, if it's friendly, then they didn't demo it.
Frank, if you want that, sure.
Okay, well, and I'll tell you, okay. The reason is I think it more clearly states the purpose of what we're doing. That you said from preparing a budget. And I think that's where we're going with this. We're not making a commitment. We're just stating that we're in the preparation phase, and that'll help Nancy out. With
it sounds like that's friendly.
That's friendly, I think.
And is there an amendment wording that you want to run by them on the first resolve, Dooley? It goes up to exempt from, and then what else?
Shall be exempt from having to prepare a budget each year to meet any across-the-board county target setting. I'm not sure that target setting is the right wording, but that's what's there.
And you're saying each year, which infers greater than 1 year?
For the life of the agreement.
All right. Is that friendly to the mover and seconder? Friendly to the mover, or is it friendly to you, Frank, as seconder?
Could you say it again, Dooley? Exempt from having to...
That the Intermunicipal Recreation Partnership be exempt from having to prepare a budget each year to meet any across-the-board county target setting. For the life of the agreement.
Yeah.
That's friendly. Okay. I'd move on to Greg, then Nathan, then myself, then Frank.
Well, at the risk of under-analyzing this complicated issue, I just remember when I was on the town board at Enfield, folks called about the rec partnership. It was one of the things I got more feedback from than many other things. If this is about sending a message, I want to err on the side that that message is that we support the rec partnership. I realize that we risk sending the wrong message by approving this resolution, but I'm willing to take that chance. And don't forget, 2 meetings ago, shared municipal services were all the rage. So,
on to Nathan.
Well, it was a shared municipal service that potentially saves lots of money. I'm not going to support this resolution, and the reason why is I share much of the same sentiments as Pam and Jim. Actually, the 6.25% represents, I think, a $3,612 county reduction, which would be a total $14,448 reduction. And out of a $231,000 budget, I think that I would at least like to see the effort made to actually show what that would look like, so I could see what programs would suffer and how the program and how the everything will not be as strong as it used to be. I also, I think that it's difficult to compare when the county compare this situation to when the county was going to pull its support altogether. Because pulling the support there would have been major shockwaves. It would be $57,000 gone, from the recreation partnership, and that's huge. This situation, I don't think is anything like that, and I don't think it's worthy of comparison. Also, when I think about this reduction, I find it hard to exempt this when I know that we are all going to be in the next month or two going to be talking about road patrols. We're not exempting those. We're not exempting programs for at-risk youth. We're not exempting weatherization programs for seniors. I mean, we're not making those exemptions right now. We're letting that be dealt with during the budget process. And so, therefore, I really can't justify supporting this this resolution right now. And to be honest, you know, and this is going to be, you know, I support youth programs. I've supported the rec partnership. I fought very strongly for us to stay in the partnership back when we had that discussion. But also, given these other priorities that I mentioned, I think that there are priorities, and my priorities are going to be these programs that really are going to affect whether or not somebody can stay in their homes, whether or not they'll be able to eat, and whether or not they can feel safe at night. So, with that, I'm not going to support this resolution.
Thank you, Nathan. I also am not going to support it, but I also want to make people very, very clear that the outcome of this vote is simply the level of OTR that the Department of Youth Services asks for on behalf of the REC partnership. Right. If we vote this down, the OTR will be 5,000 and something. If we support this, the OTR will be 1,400. We will still have the chance to look at the impact of any potential not supporting an OTR, 1,400 versus 5,000. So I'm proposing that we actually not support this so that we get a greater analysis, as others have mentioned, for what the impact would be if this goes forward in our budget process. But either way, we will get an OTR. We will be deliberating the merits of any budget consideration for the youth for REC partnership in the future. I have Frank Proto next.
And I think I'm going to be supporting this for a couple of reasons. One, let me address Mike's question about the why are we doing this now? Why did this come forward now? We have 10 municipalities, including the county, that are involved in having their own budget processes. When this came up several years ago after the retreat we had, the REC partnership retreat, the concern was we have to get the word out to the other municipalities that are participating, and this, no pun intended with regard to the SPCA, but this is like herding cats. The concern here is very much we need, or the members of the partnership need to get out to all of these municipalities. They can't do this simply by sending an email. They can do it by email. But in order for the individual municipalities to get the idea of what's going on and how they can work it into their budget, these folks need to get around and literally address what the changes are so that the municipalities can begin to work it into their budgets. Some of them are relatively small dollar amounts. I mean, you might be talking about $300 in Ulysses. I mean, Newfield, believe it or not, Greg, Newfield under this formula is $95, a $95 increase. I mean, I don't think Newfield is going to reject that, but I can't second-guess what goes on out there. The concern is that there needs to be some time. If you remember, and some of you will, the amount of time it took to get the contract ratified, because all of the attorneys, what's that saying? All of the attorneys from every single municipality had to weigh in and review the contract. And that's not an insult to the attorneys, but sometimes it takes time. And that's why it started now this year, and that's why it started when we did this several years ago, Mike. That's why it was started early, because there needs to be an opportunity for contact. Going back, and Nathan picked up, I'd like to pick up on something Nathan said. A couple of years ago, we were talking about how important it is for us to set priorities. I don't mean to demean any of you, because I think we all feel that youth is a priority, whether it regardless of what the capacity may be. The impact to the towns, remember the sales tax loss that we heard David talk about? The sales tax loss is transmitting to the towns as well, because the shared amount that they get is in the toilet. They ain't going to be getting as much. We're not getting as much. This is a fragile program to begin with, and I think everybody looks to the county for some unity. And strange for me to be arguing. We're talking about less than $1,500 here. This is not the end of the world, and Mike had it right. It's simply setting the stage for how much the OTR is going to be. I would urge that you support this so Nancy Zaler can do her planning and get around to these other municipalities. Chances are we're going to have a chance to duke this out again in September, October, whenever the budget calendar permits it. But at least it'll get our oar in early and at least let the municipalities know that, not to steal any of Dooley or Mike's thunder, that this is a quality of life issue that we all put some priority on. And I would urge your support of this.
We've had 17 speakers already. We're beginning to cycle back in seconds and sometimes thirds for each speaker. Can we move to a vote without having rejoiners? I think we can. Are we prepared to vote on the changed wording to Resolution P? Kathy?
I was trying to hold back, but I can't help myself about the process piece. It's fascinating from a process perspective because there's points on both sides. The municipal organization exists. We've supported it. We've signed contracts to support it. It's an entity unto itself, as many of y'all have argued. We also have a budget process that we agree to that says that we set out at the beginning targets so that organizations can give us an idea of what they'd have to give up. Now, I've been through this firestorm before with Youth Rec, and I have this much of an idea of the impact that, especially in tough times, a cut of the magnitude that's proposed under the current budget target would impose, although that's not really talked about in this resolution. It doesn't really say what the cut would be or what the impact would be. Well, of course not, because it's early on. So the part of me that wants to go with the process that we've set up, you know, says, let's just have them turn in a budget that shows what that impact is. It means that people are going to mobilize. People are already starting to mobilize because, and I'm trying to synthesize a lot of things different people said, but when people are worrying about eating, when they're worrying about whether they can stay in their house or afford their bills, their youth are hurting too. Their youth are probably hurting more, and the ripple effect from the youth hurting can be felt throughout our community. So it's a dilemma to me because I think that the process on the other side says, okay, we're going to start out exempting them, because I can think, unlike some of y'all apparently, I can think of 7 other organizations that can make this argument. I'm not going to do a delaying tactic and say let's send it back to committee, although the level of discussion that this has had and the tweaking that's happening on the resolution says to me that there's some opportunity for movement. The last part that is really intriguing to me is the whole intermunicipal cooperation aspect of it. Because some of y'all might remember that when TCOG was formed, my fear has always been about that the tail will wag the dog, that we'll end up losing home rule for the county because basically the intermunicipal organization is going to tell the county legislators what to do. Well, I certainly wouldn't say that the original wording said that, or even some of the revised wording. However, our new colleagues who can't come on might wonder at our intent and judge it however they want to. This is really tough for me, but here's the interesting part. There's 2 people absent. I can count votes, and I can tell that this is going to pass tonight. I've got reservations about it, and yet I don't want to come down against it. I think that part of what's been discussed and articulated here in the discussion that's very reassuring to me is that we're not setting the budget for this group right now.
That's right.
And the other side of that is that we are sending a signal right now. The signal I'd like to send is that this year is unlike other years. A case is going to have to be made, and that we need to ask the organization to adhere to the budget guidelines that we're asking others to adhere to. So I'll be voting against this.
Thank you, Kathy. Are we ready to vote? This is with the revised wording on the title and the revised wording of the first resolve.
May we have a roll call, Mr. Chairman?
Certainly.
Oh, this is on the revised wording?
Yeah. No, the revised wording was all friendly.
That was
we're now
all
voting
friendly.
On the resolution with the friendly revised wording.
Thank you.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
No.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
No.
Mr. Sigler?
No.
Mr. Stevenson?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
No.
Ms. Herrera?
No.
Ms. Keeper?
Yes.
Ms. Mackesy?
No.
Mr. Kaplinkler?
No.
6 ayes, 7 noes.
That fails. And we're going to move on. I think we're going to have the committee reports. I think Ed is here for resolution Q from Facilities and Infrastructure. Is that right? Leslie, can you move resolution Q?
Well, I have two. I have Q and R.
Okay.
If you don't mind. So, moving resolution Q, award of bid, Tompkins County Health Department, site deconstruction/construction capital project, phase 3. And I so move.
Seconded by Dooley Kiefer. Is there discussion? Frank Proto.
It's been some time since we've had an update with regard to this entire project, and the material that I was sent implies that we're touching about $8 million on the expense side. But my information is just what I've been able to piece together. I'd like to at least request that now that we have the ability to add special presentations to the board agenda, that we get an update on what's going on. And I'd also like to hear the status of the sale of the existing Biggs complex up on West Hill, what the status of that is, because some of the talk was to offset part of the expense of the new building with the sale of the old building, but that was not part of the original equation when this was passed. So
I'm glad to schedule that.
Would you schedule that?
Talk to staff.
Further questions on this resolution Q? Are we ready to vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That passes unanimously. While we have you, Leslie, I will go back to report later, but why don't you go ahead and move resolution R, which was added tonight.
Resolution R, authorizing acceptance of A, this is phase 2, Federal Aviation Administration grant to remove obstructions for a consultant agreement with CNS Engineers Incorporated for construction observation services for obstruction removal, for a consultant agreement with CNS Engineers to design a sand storage building, to purchase a disabled passenger boarding ramp for runway de-icing equipment, and a multi-purpose snow removal loader, Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport. So moved.
Is there a second?
Well done.
Martha Robertson.
I have a
discussion. Frank Proto.
I want to offer a clarification on the word. The title of this is almost as long as a resolution. I'd like to offer a clarification on some wording in there. The fourth line from the bottom of the title that begins with disabled hyphen passenger, could I suggest that that sentence after the comma building in the preceding sentence, sentence, that it read to purchase a passenger boarding ramp for the disabled. This is not a passenger ramp that is a disabled passenger. Is that okay?
That is fine.
That's friendly to the
thank
mover
you.
And
thank
who was
you.
The seconder? I forget who the seconder was. It was Martha. Martha?
Yes.
Okay. Are we ready to vote? This is resolution R with that small change. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Is there any opposed? That's unanimous. Sorry to put you on the spot, Ed, but are you here for that appointment that got pulled from the consent agenda as well? Okay. Can we ask for Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality, Pam McAsey, to move the appointment?
I move the appointment of Meenakshi Amundson to the Planning Advisory Board.
Is there a second? Martha Robertson, is there discussion? Pam or Carol?
Yeah. I pulled this from the agenda. I'm a planner. I believe in planners as having special talents and skills to do the kind of work that we do. And I know Minna Amundson and her work, and I think she is absolutely superb and a fine planner. And I think she would be a wonderful addition to the Planning Advisory Board in another seat. I had an objection. I have a philosophical objection to her occupying the at-large seat. There is an education seat in which I would support her appointment. I believe that as the university planner, whose livelihood and salary depends on representing education, that would be a more appropriate seat, and that it's an inherent conflict of interest for her to represent sort of planning interests at large. I would not have a similar objection to other potential nominees who perform other functions and happen to work for an institution of higher education but have other roles in the community. So, and I would not have any objection to, there's another current appointee from Cornell who occupies an education seat. So, but I just have a problem with her occupying that seat. So, I voted against it in committee. Ed Marks strongly supported it, and everybody else from the committee did support it.
Thank you.
It didn't have the same objections, but I just wanted to register that here.
That's the point of bringing it off consent, to make those points. Is there further discussion before we vote? Kathy Lou Cerrera?
In the context of this discussion, I need to disclose that I work for Cornell University and I work for the facilities division, for which, at least I think this week, planning and Minna's role is part of. I also want to disclose that I've served with Minna in several capacities, and from my perspective, she is pretty independent and puts her intellect, like certain Supreme Court justices that are under review right now, puts her own ethics above any role that she's in, and I believe that she is a planner first and an employee, much further down. And I would agree with Ed that her credentials are impeccable, and I think that she would serve us well. And when you stop and think, and y'all know I don't always vote for Cornell things, Cornell wields tremendous influence in this community, but their planning and what they plan also wields tremendous influence on our community. So I think having her sitting at the table is a good thing. If it came down to having to choose to have her in an education seat rather than no seat at all, certainly I would support that, but I don't have any objection to her being an at-large member.
Are we ready to vote on the appointment of Meenakshi Amundson to the Planning Advisory Board? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I just need to, I'm sorry.
That's two opposed.
Jonathan's voice was just whispering in my ear. I needed to disclose that I don't have a conflict of interest in that she's not my boss or supervisor.
Right. If that was a question, I see no conflict of interest.
Thank
that
you.
Would prevent you from voting.
Thank
so
you.
So then I need to clarify.
It's kind of late, but I just thought of it. So
I need to clarify. When I was asking for opposed, your hand was still in the air, but you're not opposed to the appointment, correct?
Oh, that's right.
So we only one opposed. That passed with one opposed. Thank you very much.
Who was opposed?
Carol.
Carol.
I had wanted to ask a question. You took a vote when he was up. So I'm going to ask it now that the vote is over. Is there a vacant education seat on the Planning Advisory Board?
Not at present, but they can do a shuffling at some other point. That's their prerogative. We're going to move on to the beginning of the agenda. Government Performance, Workforce Relations Committee, Nathan Shinagawa, Chair.
Yes, the committee met last Friday. We had an update on various properties and also went to an executive session to discuss properties. We also had policy discussions, very riveting, exciting policy discussions that led to the action of looking at it again and possibly bringing it back to committee. So we will be doing that, and there's just a few things that need to be clarified about those two policies that we talked about. They were the, what was it? It was the attendance. No, it was the meetings policy. It was the meetings policy, yes. I think that was the most controversial one. So that, we also had a great presentation from Jay over at the assessment department. On his own time, he does consulting for different counties and whatnot to look at their assessment functions, and decided that while he was doing that he could look at Tompkins County too, you know, on his own. And he did that, and we had a very interesting discussion about how most places in New York State usually have towns that do the assessing. And there's a lot of variability in that. Oftentimes, there's a lot of overhead with it because you have tons of assessors for, you know, sometimes very small counties. What he did is he developed cost projections on what it would look like in Tompkins County if you wanted to move to the system where, you know, back to the system where individual towns did it, or if you had contracted out, you know, to different assessors or whatever. And he had different models, and his conclusion was that the way that we do it right now is actually the most cost-effective, and it also generates the most consistency, consistency in results. So it was a great, great presentation, and it's the actual longer version is like 30-some pages and widely available if you want a copy of it. Definitely worth checking out, and shows us that we do things, you know, a lot of things well in Tompkins County. I have a resolution, Resolution M, supporting the New York State Fair Pay Act of 2007, Assembly Bill number A3911, Senate Bill number S955, and I so move.
And Kathy Luz Herrera seconds. Is there discussion?
I will let Dooley take over this discussion since this is her shining resolution that she wants to bring forth. If she so chooses.
If we're ready to vote, we don't have to actually go to discussion, folks.
I think it's clear on its face. I didn't think it needed further presentation.
And the explanation has been distributed with some of the copies of one of the bills, the Senate bill, but I think Assembly and Senate are very close. Martha.
As loath as I am to vote against something that's about fair pay, I don't understand this, and I just got this, you know, in our folders today. I mean, my concern is that this county went through a long, complicated process assigning to try to remove, in particular, sex stereotyping from our job classifications, and to try to assign weight based on supervision, danger, work hours, a variety of things. That would try to neutralize stereotyping, you know, bias. I have maybe that's in here, but I don't know it because I haven't had a chance to read this. Can somebody explain what this is about?
A brief overview, brief, quick summary.
Well, this is supporting two potential bills in the state legislature, one amending executive law and one. I've already forgotten the other one. Human rights law.
Yeah.
And it's intended to make it a violation of human rights law to discriminate between male and female employees by compensating employees of different genders differently for work of comparable worth. And the other one attempts to ensure pay differential is not based on a person's gender, national origin, or race.
Yeah.
Isn't that already?
No.
I don't understand.
Yeah. What happens is that the difference in these two bills, and the reason why we support both, one of them is Assemblywoman Lipton's bill, the one regarding the Human Rights Office, and the other one is another bill that's out there. That's the one that most of the different advocacy organizations have been supporting. One of them puts, I think, the power, Dooley, please correct me, puts the power in the Labor Department to basically ensure that there's fair pay between job classifications for mostly men and women, and that it would not reduce anybody's pay, but it would push places to increase pay for those where situations where women are being paid less than men. The Assemblywoman's bill, instead of actually having that broad sort of mandate for everybody to look at that, the Assemblywoman's bill, I believe, allows people to contest to the Office of Human Rights if they feel that they are not receiving the same pay for the equal amounts of work and responsibility that they do. Now, we did do this. You're right. We did do this in Tompkins County several years ago, and that's great. But not very many places in the state have. And this is asking them to basically do that.
Back to Martha.
Are you telling me that if I work at waiting tables and so does Will, and he gets paid more, that's not already against the law? Or are you talking about different jobs where
right.
there's... I'm not ready to vote for this because I'm really still
Oh, I think
at
that
a loss.
It's I believe it is through... It is by different... So this is not my my resolution because I support the Assemblywoman's bill more than the other one. But that bill, I believe, actually does it between job classifications.
I didn't hear you. What?
Between job classifications.
Different. We're
yeah.
not talking about the
yeah.
same job.
Right.
We're talking about
yeah.
different jobs.
Right, right. Because where you have... Because there are so many situations in which there are people that are... I mean, like, I can... I mean... You know, in healthcare, for example, male nurse, like certain male men usually get elevated to certain male nurse positions that pay a lot more than equal supervisory roles that women male nurse managers have. But because men will gravitate towards certain roles, that position tends to get paid like 5 or 10% more than the female's position.
I'm noticing it's our time. We check in whether we want to have a break. We have three resolutions left, this and two others for the evening. Do you want to take a break? Do you want to push through?
Push.
Okay. I have Frank, then Kathy, then Carol, then Pam.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nathan, it wasn't too many weeks or months ago that a TARP resolution, a TARP program was passed at the federal level. And it wasn't too many months ago that a state budget was passed, I think. Mm-hmm. It's hard to know who's in session and who isn't. And I've heard criticism on both of them, regardless of what side you come down on, that nobody read this stuff, that everybody, some of the material came by the pound, and it was impossible to read. Everybody was under stress. Everybody was under a timeline. With all due respect to this, I don't think anybody's opposed to equal pay for equal work, and I think that's what basically right. we're saying. But
it's just the yeah, sorry.
And this you'll find this very strange because we're on a streak. This is the second time tonight I have to agree with Martha. Let's not let it go to our heads. So.
I told you I have the voter registration form.
Well, this was discussed. Frank is about to move.
What I was going to say is I would like some time to read this, and I think anybody that's going to bring forward...
But you're not sending it back to committee, I must say. This would have to be tabled because we already discussed this twice in committee. The first time we discussed it, there was debate over one...
Frank has the floor, and I think he's moving towards a motion.
The concern I have is that we're asked to address so many of these, and often we don't have the backup material to review. It's a trust me situation. But I would like to move to, you don't want to send this back to committee?
We've discussed this twice.
Then I would move to table this or to postpone this to our next legislative meeting so that any individual that wants to take the time to read this will have the opportunity to do that.
Is there a second?
I would be supportive of that.
Is there a second to postpone to our next meeting? Martha Robertson, discussion on postponing to our next meeting. Kathy Luz Herrera, then Mike Sig. It's not discussion to postpone, folks.
I understand that some people may feel the need to inform themselves more about this. For myself, I know that Alice Cook devoted 50 years of her professional life to working on the issue of comparable worth. For myself, discrimination in job titles that were traditionally done by men is what prevented me and people like me from being able to have access to good-paying jobs. This deals with discrimination in job titles traditionally done by women and people of color, and it's a way of seeing to it that those job classifications and descriptions no longer represent a barrier to prevent women and people of color from getting comparable pay for comparable worth work. So I'm very well informed about this. I understand that some of my colleagues might not understand these issues as I do from a personal perspective. I would certainly support voting on this now, and that's what I'm going to do.
Again, on the issue of postponement, I have Mike Sigler next, and Martha.
I'll be quick. I would like a table, just because I have to admit, I really thought this was done at the federal level. So that's why I'm a little confused. I mean, I thought that this legislation went through it during the Clinton administration, frankly. And then I was pretty sure that the state also followed up. So when I first saw this, I'm like, I thought this was kind of redundant. So if it's not, I would like to know what this does actually address. So.
Okay, this is a motion to postpone, deliberation before we vote on whether to postpone or not. I think I had Martha next and then Carol.
Well, this wasn't something that was emailed to us. There's 7 pages here. This is has been discussed twice in committee. I don't know why we didn't get this as backup in our packets.
So I don't know why you didn't either. I'm sorry. Yeah. It was supposed to go out.
Are we ready to vote on whether to postpone or not? I see Carol's hand.
Oh, well, when this was in our packets, and because it was in our packets, I did go online and look it up, and while this information was in our packets, this is exactly what I looked up, and then I also looked at various websites and perspectives, including the Business Council, which was in opposition, and then there was a women's group
that
was
in... What about postponing, Carol?
Carol,
yeah.
And so I was able to satisfy myself that the short answer to Martha's original question that brought up the notion of tabling is that the current law allows men and women to be given different titles for essentially the same work.
Yes.
And this would no longer allow that to happen, but that's the essence of what this is. And I don't know that we need to spend a whole lot more time on it. I know that I would support it. So I don't know that we need to table it. On the other hand, an awful lot of people seem to feel like they need more information, so...
I call for a vote on the motion to postpone. All in favor of postponing until our next meeting? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed to postponement? 1, 2, 3, 4. That passes 9-4. It's postponed until our next meeting. Those who need further information, please use the time well.
And by the way, just if you do need further information on this, the first time we discussed this, Linda Smith from the Southern Woman Lipton's office came. I think she prepared a write-up about it. You can probably call over to that office and get information. I just don't remember it because it happened 2 months
ago.
Thank you. The details. Yeah.
Is that the end of the Government Performance Workforce Relations Report? Are there any other questions for that committee? Kathy Bruce Rivera.
Thank you. If you don't mind, I'd like to suggest, since I'm not sure which committee it should go to, it might be Government Performance and Workforce Relations, the notion of this policy question that came up in tonight's discussion as to intermunicipal organizations and others that may seek, because of their makeup, to be able to exempt themselves or to ask us to exempt them or however direction you want to look at it. I think we might want to consider coming up with a policy on that, or at least discussing it in a way that we're a little more clear around the table as to which organizations are bona fide intermunicipal organizations, which ones set their own budgets, which ones are bylaws say specifically that they can, set their own budget because they pay into it. Whatever. I think it needs clarification, and I wondered if I could just say on the floor that since I'm not sure which one it is, I wondered if your group, the Government Performance and Workforce Relations Committee, might consider it or talk about it when you all talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, I honestly don't. I think that's a good idea. I don't mind doing that and having a discussion about that. And if discussion leads to policy, then that would be fine. But we could do that. Paula, can we make sure that we remember that?
All right, thank you, Kathy. I'm going to actually jump a few committees because I see I've overlooked Ted Sheely being here for the Health Department Tobacco Control Program. So it can be moved to Health and Human Services Committee, Resolution O. Frank Proto.
Mike, do you want me to do the resolution, or you want me to give the report first?
Do the resolution so we can let Ted sneak out.
Okay. I am going to ask Will Burbank as vice chair to present the resolution.
Thank you. Will?
Okay, thank you. I would like to move Resolution O, which is authorization to accept funds, execute multi-year contracts, creation of a position and budget adjustment, tobacco control, community partnership, health department. And I so move.
And seconded by Dooley Kiefer. Is there discussion? Frank Proto.
I voted against this in committee, and I'll probably vote against it this evening for a couple of reasons, and I think you ought to understand what they are. And it's not meant to be a slight towards the department or Teresa or Ted. They've done terrific work in supporting getting the word out and certainly continuing to strive towards achieving the goals of the overall program. The grant is $160,000 a year, God bless you, for 5 years. That's $800,000. Concerns I have are that in the second whereas, mobilizing community members and organizations bothers me. It's not unheard of that this is a tends to be a somewhat volatile item. There are people who line up on both sides of it as to whether you are in favor of reduced tobacco use or not. But I wanted, just off the top of my head, I made a list of all the things that I recollect have already taken place. We've banned smoking in restaurants, bars, in these buildings of ours, in county vehicles, and most municipalities have done that in their own vehicles. We've seen an increase in the anti-smoking advertisements, which are fine because of the types of things that we're trying to induce youth not to do. We've moved tobacco products behind the counter. We've instituted locked access ports in various tobacco shops so that access needs to be given by someone. You just can't wander in there, and that's to control it so youth doesn't get in there on their own. We've had a hit team that goes around, and this has been going on for several years, in the event that someone sells tobacco to a minor. I'm pleased to say that even I have been carded as a potential smoker. Someone buying tobacco products, that's a real pat on the back. I want to thank anyone who does that. My point is very simply that we, in my opinion, we ought to take a time out for just a minute. This is not to say I've had a member of my own family who passed away from lung cancer. That and several that have hit very close to home. We've all had friends that have been affected by this. Not saying that we shouldn't pursue calming down the smoking that goes on. The concern that I have is there's a point that you reach where you need to take a step back and let's look at what we're already doing. This doesn't say we're not going to continue doing what's already been done. This is elevating it once again. I'm not opposed, as I've already told Ted, I'm certainly personally not opposed to limiting smoking in children's playgrounds. I mean, that to me goes without saying. But I'm concerned about the impression that it gives that there are people who smoke, like it or not, and they will probably continue to smoke, that I think sometimes it's demeaning even to them. And I think we ought to consider some of that in our deliberations. So what I was going to propose is that I don't know if there's a timing for acceptance of this grant. There may be, and I'm not aware of that. But I would suggest that at some point, and we can go ahead, my suspicion is this will get voted on tonight and it will probably pass, but I would like to ask, certainly I can ask this as chairman of the committee, but I'd like to ask it as just a member of the body, that we have a report given to the Health and Human Services Committee on all of the activities that have already taken place and how effective they've been, and have they achieved the goals that were set up. And I don't mean excerpting certain pieces of a national report which created some stir about two years ago, because we could pick and choose what parts of that we wanted to highlight. And I would ask that as a favor, certainly from the department, but certainly to the rest of us. And I just wanted you to know why I'm not going to be supporting this tonight. I'd like to ask for a timeout, if you will.
Thank you, Frank. I have three more speakers. I'd like to go to a vote. I have Martha, Jim, and Leslie.
First, I want to congratulate the staff in getting this award. I understand it was very competitive, so this is a really big deal. I also want to say I have mixed feelings about banning smoking on the commons. I'll just say it straight out. Yeah, by the playground, absolutely. But on the other hand, we clearly have a long way to go on this. This is the number one preventable illness that causes death in our country, and we all pay for it. Everybody's insurance, our Medicaid, our Medicare, we're all paying for the results of smoking. My father died at 72. His cardiologist said if there were no cigarettes, he'd be out of a job. My father-in-law died at 65, and cigarettes were his only risk factor. There's a really long way to go. Our president continues to struggle with it, and he certainly started smoking years after the Surgeon General said the stuff was poison. There's a long way to go. I'm really glad we got this grant, and congratulations to the staff.
Jim, then Leslie, I'd like to go to a vote. Jim?
Let me be real blunt. Frank, all due respect, you're the chair of the Health and Human Services Committee. All the things you ask for, you should ask for, and people should provide that information to you. Secondly, I smoked for 25 years, and I quit in 1990, and I thought I'd dodged a bullet. I didn't. I went to Memorial Sloan Kettering, and they said the condition that I ended up with, 99% of the people who got it were smokers. It matters none to me. As far as I'm concerned, I was in a restaurant the other day on Aurora Street, and someone was smoking in the 25% area that you can still smoke in. That should be banned. Cigarettes on the common should be banned. You want to smoke, smoke in your house, smoke on your property. Leave me out of it, leave my children out of it, leave my grandchildren out of it.
Thank you, Jim. Leslie?
I just want to point out, because I know we're in tough budget times and I didn't say a whole lot tonight, that this is a grant for $160,000 per year, and I think it's over a five-year period, and the position being created, according to the second to last resolve, is that the position will only continue as long as 100% of the grant funding is available.
Yes.
I think that's information that people need to know, because God knows I don't need my phone ringing about creating a new position in this really tight budget time, so that whoever gets this position is really clear that this is what it is. And if the grant ceases, the position ceases. I also want to weigh in, thank you, Martha, that I know there's continued discussion at the city level about banning smoking on certain parts of the commons. And so for those of you who are interested, I don't know when all the meetings are, when the updates are, to please pay attention so that you can weigh in. I may not fully agree with the entire commons there being a smoking ban, but I think there needs to be some amount of regulation in that open space where lots of people do congregate.
Thank you. I'd like to move to a vote. Mike Sigler, then Kathy Luz Herrera.
I'll be quick. I just want to say, I fully support getting this. I look at quitting smoking as generational, not individually. So,
50 years, 50% of the population smoked. Now we're down to 25%. Another generation maybe will be down to 12, and then you'll be done. And without money like this, I don't foresee that happening. So that's why I fully support this.
Thank you. And Kathy?
My first remark is tongue-in-cheek. This community partnership, I hope, does it have bylaws? Okay, the second thing, I heard something on the radio today that caught my interest that's relevant, and that is a study that was released, something about students being exposed to a lot of secondhand smoke due to, you know, partying and stuff like that. I hesitate to think that mobilizing community members and organizations would ban smoking at private parties. However, I believe, as many people have expressed here, that education of people, particularly young people who have a tendency to engage in experimental activity that then becomes habitual, can be educated about this, and it can save us a lot of grief, a lot of, it can be a big savings.
All ready to vote on Resolution O as moved. All in favor? One, two, three, four. And opposed? That passes with 12 in favor and 1 opposed. It is 10 of 8. Can we go through our committee reports and our remaining resolution quickly? I will proceed as if those heads nodding will follow suit. Back to Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee. Pam McAsee, Chair.
Actually, I could put off my report until our next meeting if we disable the time. Why don't I just do that?
Okay. Question for the committee chair from Martha.
I just want to note that the Program Oversight Committee of the Housing Fund has met twice now, and Pam, at the last meeting, Pam was elected its chair, so I just thought you all should know that. So. The Program Oversight Committee of the Housing Fund, the Cornell Community
Partnership. Oh, nice.
Pam?
Yes, Carol reminded me that I had said that I might not be at the next meeting.
Oh,
So if you don't mind, I will do a quick run-through of
Thank
what
you.
We did. I thought one important thing that we talked about was Craig Schutt from the Tompkins County Soil and Water Conservation District came and spoke to us, and he described a situation that they're facing that is just unbelievable to me. They get over $1 million from the state for their budget. Or no, I'm sorry, 72% of the over $1 million come from the state. And they have, to date, they have received no money from the state for their program for this year, for their budget. So they are just scraping and trying to make do. So I have never heard things to be quite that bad, and I think it's a portent of things to come. We had a report from Mike Stamm from the from TCAD, which was very interesting. The planning department pointed out, it's on the website, they have completed a renter survey. They hired somebody, all the colleges and the county, to do a survey of renting rental units around the county. The results of that are on our website if people are interested in it. We have just been awarded the aquifer study funding for the Pony Hollow out in Newfield, which is good. We have three projects in going on. Caroline, Dryden, and Danby are all still in process. And I think that's all I really need to talk about. If there's anything I forget, I'll make sure it gets reported the next time. So.
Thank you for those highlights. Any questions for Pam? Thank you, Pam. We'll move on to Jim Dennis, Budget, Capital, and Finance.
Thank you, Michael. Very short. We had no resolutions, as you well know. Our last meeting, the bearer of bad tidings, David Squire, showed up and talked about the sales tax shortfall. And also, it came to the fore that the 2009 budget might need some adjustments. And to that point, the county administrator has a general conversation about that he'd like to share.
And this is very quick also. David has highlighted, the newspaper has reported what's happening with sales tax, the deficit. Projected deficit, which we pegged at $1.5 million early in the year, is looking more like $2 million. In addition to that, there are emerging shortfalls in some of our human service programs. Not surprising, but still not included in the original round of projections. Those look to be in the neighborhood of $500,000 or so. And again, it's because of demands for services. So we're looking at about 1.1 million to 1.1 million altogether that we're going to have to work on for this year. David, Norma, and I have met almost daily since these new numbers began to come in. I know David worked over the weekend and has come up with some things that we're looking at right now to essentially rebalance this budget. We're going to need to move money from areas that are looking pretty good, like stimulus money, to areas that aren't looking so good, like sales tax. So we will need to be coming to the budget committee as soon as we can with recommended transfers, again, from the positive areas to the negative areas. And with that may come with some policy recommendations about things that we would suggest being done this year to keep things as in line as we possibly can, given this very unstable environment. So we will continue to work through budget committee on that. Again, I think it's been well reported, and I'm sure we will talk more about this in the coming weeks.
Thank you, Joe. I see Martha and Will have hands.
Well, I'm really glad that Nathan said he would support keeping people fed and in our houses. So, but I hadn't heard about the shortfall in human services. Is that DSS or is that agencies? Is that because of state cuts or what?
Well, it's primarily DSS, and we're beginning to see, and you recall we talked about food stamps that were rising and that would drag the temporary assistance numbers up with it, which we are now seeing. So there, it's beginning to look as if we're going to go over in the temporary assistance area. It looks like foster care may be higher than budgeted. Third area is what's called maybe euphemistically state training, which is where young people are sent after committing a crime, basically secure youth detention. That also seems to be exceeding its budget. So those are the three pressure points in DSS that in earlier projections weren't accounted for.
Will Burbank.
Grim news indeed. I was out of town when the news report on the budget shortfall appeared, and I was shocked to open the online edition of the Ithaca Journal and discovered that for next year we are going to be short $24 million. at the end of the day, that decimal point had been replaced, but I thought, you know, you go away for a week. And but it's going to be difficult, and thank you, Joe, for keeping us alert.
It goes along with the 400,000 housing units.
That's right. Any further questions before we move on?
No.
All set?
That concludes my report. To whether or not you feel, it makes you feel good or not, I have been included in the discussions with the administration. I believe Michael has too, and we will do our best to keep you all as informed as you want to be.
And moving on to Public Safety Committee, Martha Robertson, Chair.
Thank you. We met yesterday, and I have some good news. I'm going to save it till the end so you stay awake. Yesterday we went through several more rollover requests. We also heard from each department head about their budget picture for the 2010 budget, and it was not a cheerful meeting. Combination of like eliminating equipment, cutting people's hours, not filling positions where people are leaving this year, and some layoffs. That's kind of a summary statement about the public safety department reports we got. We heard from Patricia Carey about, you may remember last meeting I talked about the evaluation of our ATI programs that was done in 2003 and that we were hoping to update that. Patricia Carey and Dina Bodner from DSS have already jumped into that, and Patricia's assigned Dina to work on that, and will basically, she's got a preliminary timeline for the steps she's going to be taking and how she'll involve the committee and CJA and other people. Hoping to have a final report to the committee in January. So, and as Pat Buchel said, that's a very aggressive timeline for everything she laid out that she would do. The assigned council task force keeps meeting, and we are a little late on that report. We don't expect to finish it till August, and then expect to report to the committee, to the Public Safety Committee, in September. But I don't think it's betraying any secret to say that the task force is not planning to suggest or recommend any radical change in the assigned council structure. There's a lot of information, a lot of good ideas for tweaking the system, but the very short headline is it didn't look like another structure would save us money, would, might well cost us a lot of money, at least in the transition, and it seemed, let's just tweak what we have. The good news is that Sheriff Meskel has been has sent a request to the Commission on Corrections, and his first letter was May 18th. He wrote again on July 15th because he hadn't heard back. He has asked for the variance to double cell 18 beds in our jail, and he got a phone call today saying that that has been approved. That means that our jail will be able to house 91 people. Well, that's, you know, with classifications, it's never quite never quite the full amount. But that should help us significantly with our board out problem. It probably won't eliminate them all because of classifications. But I will tell you that as of the end of June, we'd already spent almost $156,000 on board outs this year. So in the last recent months, it's been increasing. So we're certainly on target for a $300,000 board out bill this year. So did I say 6 months? It's only a six-month approval of that variance. So it is, it's going to happen as soon as he gets the formal letter in the mail, and he has to buy the beds and have those installed, but that'll be trivial compared to what we expect to save on board out costs. So that was initiated by the sheriff, and I'm really happy that that worked out.
Thank you. So, any questions? Frank Proto.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you. Maybe I misheard, but did I hear you say that Patricia Carey has assigned Dina Bodner to help do that report? I mean, can you fill me in as Health and Human Services Chairman how we shifted somebody from DSS and the transit piece over to do this?
Can we have this conversation outside this group? I'm not sure it's relevant to all of us.
Well, then has that already been carved in stone?
I think that's a perfect conversation for two chairs to have.
Just two sentences. I mean, Kathy Slaughter did the report in 2003 as a DSS planner. It's important. DSS has a lot of stake involved in the drug courts being effective because it's much of their population. But we also wanted somebody separate from, we certainly didn't want probation to be evaluating themselves. So we sort of needed to look outside probation. This is a way to do it without hiring a consultant or something.
Well, I certainly think that you and I should have had a conversation before that took place.
Kathy Lucerera.
Actually, that's my comment, that as important as it is that a conversation like this happen, not necessarily on the floor, I think it's even more important that a move like this be done in consultation with committee chairs. So it's unfortunate.
I would point out that Patricia Carey is part of the Criminal Justice Cabinet as well as the Human Services Cabinet. And
I would also point out that Patricia Carey, DSS is part of Health and Human Services. And out of courtesy, I think it would have been wise, particularly since Dina is heavily involved. I haven't given my report yet, but Dina is heavily involved with Dwight Mengel in the transit piece and this public transit piece. So I think there's pieces of this that perhaps it might be appropriate to tap somebody to help with. But I think we really need to talk, Martha.
Since I'm in the middle, I just want to say I know both of y'all were getting along so good tonight, and you're both such proponents of collaboration. I feel certain this can be solved, and maybe not repeated if we're lucky.
Do you have a resolution, Martha?
I have a resolution and appropriation from General Reserve Fund for the purchase of 10 SCRAM secure continuous remote alcohol monitoring units for the Tompkins County Probation and Community Justice Department. And I so move.
And that's seconded by Leslie McBean Claiborne. This will be a short form roll call. Is there discussion? Nathan.
Yeah, I was the guy that asked that this not be put on the consent agenda immediately, just because there were just basic questions. You know, I thought that that it would be good for the public to hear why we're spending so much money on just 10 devices to monitor 10 people at any given time. And I got a lot of information that's widely available on these types of units. And Obviously, they are very cost-effective, and they're better and more, and they're cheaper than jailing people. And it also lets people have a little bit more ownership over their lives, so the freedom to make amends. I think that whenever we go forward with any of these this type of spending, we just need to make sure that we make it clear that it's a what its benefit is. I mean, this. I just thought that it was moving a little too fast on it, and I didn't have enough information. But I think it's a good idea. That's okay.
This is coming from the Stop DWI Reserve Fund, which they have something like $200,000 in it, and those are from fines collected from DWI defendants. They have they were told they better start spending it by the state. So this is not property tax money at all. These units. As the title says, continuous alcohol monitoring. It's a bracelet that you know, gets their. You see it on Star Trek. You know, their blood gases or whatever, so that there's. So
it's sweat.
It's not just a breathalyzer that's random. This is much not only cost effective. It's much better monitoring than anything else that we have. And if we're going to be cutting probation, or not filling probation positions, then we certainly need to use this kind of technology.
Yeah. Are we ready to vote? I saw Leslie's hand, and that was just the... Leslie, go ahead.
No, I did. Martha gave most of the explanation about where the money's coming from, and I really appreciate that. But I do want to say we always come down to this time of year, and especially around budget, where we begin to talk about alternatives to incarceration. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those things that is... used as an alternative to incarceration that works effectively, and so I just want to point that out as well.
It's our last resolution of the evening, short form roll call, resolution N.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Ms. McAsey?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to be recorded as a no? Seeing none, that's unanimous. Thank you. And let's move on to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslie McBean Claiborne, Chair.
I don't have a report from WDIC, but I do want to take the opportunity to thank Kathy. We had a really brief conversation outside for mentioning during Privilege of the Floor the hate crime in Onondaga County. And it brought to mind, just as a reminder to folks, that there are hate crime ordinances and laws and other books here. City of Ithaca and Tompkins County, as well as anti-discrimination laws that protect members of the LGBT community. However, it may be worth it for us to really revisit those, partly because of what Dooley said. She was watching the Syracuse news that we also get over here, whatever the news was that we also get here, that it is often so difficult to prove that it is a hate crime, that there's so many parameters attached to you being able to prove this, that it may be worth it. One of the things that we may want to really revisit and consider what needs to happen. What needs to happen? We've gone through this several years with a number of cases here in Tompkins County that apparently didn't rise to the level. Patricia Morris getting beaten down in the street and half of her hair pulled out and still suffering didn't rise to that level. And I don't know what more one has to do to prove that it is a hate crime when you're being called names and being assaulted because of who you are. So it may be worth really revisiting from our legal end, from our legislative end, to see what needs to happen. So I thought I'd bring that up under my WDIC report.
Thank you. I'm ready to move on to Legislative Rules and Procedures Committee, Dooley Kiefer, Chair.
We met yesterday and had quite a lively discussion. We received and discussed an administration-generated summary consensus statement of what department heads think should be the wording of our Rule 17, how legislators request information from departments is the short concept. And we are slowly making our way through the rules. We made changes. And at Mike Hattery's suggestion, we all agreed that we will bring our recommended changes in small pieces to the legislature, one or two rules at a time, give you our proposed changes,
and hope that you will vote on them that way in small pieces instead of trying to do it all at once and taking hours. So I hope that you find that friendly, and we hope to have something next month.
Thank you very much. Martha Robertson.
So on your agenda, that's communications received. Is that what you're talking about? What department heads had sent in comments? Yep.
Paula Younger brought it to us and presented it, yes.
Is it possible to get a copy of those?
Sure.
Sure.
Thank you.
On to Health and Human Services Committee. You've had two resolutions, but you probably have the report.
Yes, Frank, I'll keep it. Thanks, Mike. I'll keep it brief. The committee met last week, and two of the main items, you've heard most of the discussion tonight because of the youth services, and one of the items that took quite some time was the resolution that we already dealt with exempting the partnership from the target cut. But the one that created a lot of concern and will probably be working its way to the Budget Committee is through the Department of Social Services. It'll be a resolution that will be entitled Award of Bid for the Rural Feeder Proposal to Ithaca Dispatch. Dina Bodner, who is Dwight Mengel's superior, reported that they wanted to identify different areas, and in this case it's Newfield and Enfield, as areas to start a shuttle service, more or less, and bring them to bus stops that are already established, because there's a concern that a good share of the county is underserved by, and a good share of the population of the county is underserved by the TCAT service, because they simply can't get to the bus stops. This generated a lot of questions and a lot of concerns. The committee was somewhat reluctant to go ahead and give permission to award the contract until a number of questions were answered. We did support the resolution. Dina is the focal point for receiving information. Dwight is out of town. And I will remind the committee members that if you have concerns and questions, please get them to Dina as quickly as possible, because we'll be dealing with this. I think it's going to come up at the Budget Committee's next meeting, and we need to have some of the items addressed prior to that. The next committee meeting is the 18th. I had the opportunity over the weekend to attend the 60th anniversary of the Slaterville Fire Department and the 50th anniversary of their ambulance squad. Cuba Medical Center was in attendance and had with it a unit. Greg, you probably know the name of it, and I don't. It's a unit that is within the ambulance itself. It's portable, but they can do vital signs and transmit them directly to the hospital, so that by the time the patient gets to the ER, they have a complete printout and they're ready to go. Dryden is already using one of these units. The one that was on display there was happened to be the Dryden unit. And we're trying to get them into ambulances throughout the county. The units cost about $25,000 a piece. Bangs is slated to get one as well, because they're the backup to most if not all of the ambulance units in the county. But it was quite exciting to see it operate, and it certainly would set us up one. With all due respect to Guthrie, Nathan, this one is a tie-in with the Cuba Med, and they're going to be using, with Lee Shirtless' help, some of the emergency communication systems. They're already tied into that loop system. It was really a neat piece of equipment. Greg, I can't. It's a cardiac something or other.
We'll just leave it at that. We'll leave it at that. Cardiac something about it.
It's a cardiac
right.
Something.
That works for me.
Kathy, I'll get the right name before the bids come out. Thank you. Oh, the next meeting is the 11th of August. Thank you.
If there's no questions for Frank, we'll move on to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. Leslie McBean, Claiborne.
Can Frank say webinar again? I thought that was cool. That was cool earlier. I like that.
Leslie.
So I want to invite my colleagues to sit back and relax. I have about an hour's worth of reporting. I'm just kidding, y'all. Most of what we dealt with in F&I were on the resolutions and consent agenda, which you graciously passed without a hitch. We spent some time visiting with departments around budget impacts and just sort of giving people the opportunity to begin downloading on what's been going on for them as they put budgets together. Most departments are looking at a little bit probably more than 8% reduction with the fringe being added back to department budgets as opposed to the pool. And they have all been chipping in. While though bleak it is, they've all been finding places to cut, to take out a little bit, etc., which is not easy, especially for a department like facilities. So we'll be looking at major deferred maintenance again, as well as highway. Highway, I know, mentioned not buying two very important pieces of equipment, and we all know highway equipment is very expensive. Not filling a couple of positions so that they can hold off some money. They're looking at already about a $200,000 cut out of their road materials, highway road materials, so that they can help meet the target and do their share. Facilities is looking out already at, I think, a $175,000 reduction. So they're looking at areas. Everybody's trying to fill in a little bit of where they can make it happen. So some of the major things that we need to really be concerned about, things like roof replacement, the fire alarm systems, those are things that we obviously can't put off. We've put off some of it before. Arel brought us some graphs, which I hope we have a chance to share with you all, about the increased amount of work in terms of maintenance and cleaning because of the square footage, increased square footage since 1999 to 2008. Some of the facilities added included the new library, the public works facility, the mental health facility, emergency response facility, the Board of Elections, and noticing that staff sort of remained stagnant, although we've added more. So the square footage per cleaner is much higher than it was then. So one cleaner's taken on a whole lot more. That has not changed. Nothing's going to change unless we get rid of facilities for them or get rid of buildings. But they're still doing the work, and it does look it is going to be tough, but they're all biting the bullet and trying their best to do some preliminary cuts before we get to the place of presenting budgets to us, and thanks to the work of county administration with them in looking for those areas. So just wanted to share that with you all on some of the things we talked about. The rest of it were in resolutions. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Are there any questions? That's the end of our committee reports. Who'd like to move the
May I add just one thing?
Sure.
The Air Service Board, we met yesterday, and that's one area that things seems to be looking up around. And I think with the addition and continuation of service from Continental, we are seeing a great increase in employments, something like over a difference of about 2,500 passengers, employments over last year. Just this month alone, but throughout 2009 so far, it looks like there's been an increase. And so that is really good news for the airport. And so things seem to be looking up in that sense.
Thank you. Who'd like to move the minutes from June 22nd? Frank Proto moves them. Martha Robertson seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Who'd like to move to go to executive session for purposes of negotiations and personnel? Jim Dennis moves. Frank Proto seconds. All in favor of going to executive session? Any opposed? We will not be taking any action outside of executive session. Please stay for a minute. We have some things to hand out for executive session. So before you break, you'll have them in your hands to read.